Whoops, sorry. Sorry about the interruption. So I just wanted to remind everyone that we are that to please mute your phones, because typing or eating lunch or other activity will come through loudly on the call. And you can ask questions both if you have a technical problem or if you have a substantive question for the speaker through the there's a chat through the chat box, the questions box, and you can submit those anytime during the presentations. We'll queue them up, and then afterwards for discussion, I think the group's small enough that you can unmute, and then we can answer the questions or get your comments. The PowerPoints and audio recording and other reference materials will be posted, actually are already posted on the MNIP live website, the public website, and we'll show that at the end. And I'll also send a note around to everyone with that link so that people who couldn't make it, or if you want to look at the extra material, can do that afterwards. So I want to thank these, the pictures are in reverse order. I think we're going to have Jeff go first, but I want to thank Jeff and Francisca for doing actually a replay, an update of their presentations that they did in at the Minneapolis Partners meeting. And we had been excited about LED for a long time, but we at Urban hadn't had a chance to really use it beyond the county level, so needed a seminar, a little get started session there. And since then, data has become available for almost all states, and I think all states have signed on, at least, and there's been sort of new information, and of course, the recession, as the recession progresses, tracking employment is more important than ever. So I'm going to let Jess get started, and Ashley's going to pass along the control to you, Jess.
Great, thanks.
Great, it's working, Jeff.
Oh, good. Okay, you can see the slideshow?
I can see the slideshow. Can you, if you can do view slideshow, that would be easier. So we're seeing the little thumbnails on the side.
Okay.
Beautiful. We see it full screen.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. So what I'm going to try to do in as little time as possible is quickly go through what is the local employment dynamics data and talk about some of the new data products that they've released with their new application on the map version 4. And then what I'd like to spend most of the time on is a short demo of how easy it is to get started with using this data and doing a quick commute shed analysis using customized geography for our local area, and again, demonstrating some of the new features of the On the Map website that are available. So without going through all the details of this slide, we'll keep it simple enough to say that LED is a partnership between state employment offices, the U.S. Census Bureau, and the Social Security Administration that combines data on where people live and where they work, and then is sent back down to the states for local analysis. As Kathy said, almost all states are participating. Puerto Rico and Connecticut were the last two to sign on, and every state except New Hampshire and Massachusetts are now committed to being part of this program. I'm not sure what the holdup is in those two states, but maybe if there are any in the audience, can tell us later on what might be going on there. The data products, there are really three major categories of them, the quarterly workforce indicators, the origin destination database, which I'm going to be focusing mostly on today, and then the workplace area characteristics and residential area characteristics, that add kind of a demographic and employment detail to the maps that we've seen, just showing locations of where people live and where they work. The data that we find in the origin destination data set is basically a home and work block ID, several age and earnings categories that we'll see some more detail on, and then different information about the types of jobs that are available, differentiating between all jobs, primary jobs, which would be the job at which you earn the most income, private sector jobs, and then private sector primary jobs. And three broad industry categories that we'll also go through in a bit. The workplace and resident area characteristics files break down the data in the same age categories and earning categories as the origin destination files, but also include about 20 different industry categories. These are the common two-digit NAICS codes. And again, we'll see a table coming up that includes these. Really quickly, benefits to using this data set, something that's updated annually, which is of great use to us. We always want more timely and more updated data. I don't have to tell anybody here how frustrating it is trying to use Census 2000 demographic data right now, as we're just on the cusp of receiving new data. This is also full population data. It's not a sample or a survey. So you're getting a 100% count of what the states have available. The geographic detail is reported down to the census block or block group, depending on which data set you're looking at. And as I mentioned, we've got some demographic data available. Some of the limitations, it's still never as current as we'd like it to be. You know, it's approaching 2 years old right now, and unfortunately hasn't quite hit the peak of the recession, so we're not even looking at the 2008 data. We haven't quite seen the big dramatic drop in jobs in some areas that we've been looking at. It only covers those that are eligible for state unemployment insurance, so it doesn't include federal workers or self-employed persons. And the big problem that we've had is that the data is only accurate as employers are correctly reporting where their employees work. So you've got large firms that have many branches or establishments. Not always are they locating their employees down to the correct location. A lot of times they'll just be aggregated to the headquarters of that company, and that's been a problem in this area. And then some limited demographic info, as I mentioned, and the census is forced to do some fuzzing of the data in areas where there may be a dominant employer on a block or very few residents working in similar locations to protect privacy and prevent identification of individuals. The best place to go and get this LED data is the On the Map website. You can now download directly from the On the Map site both full state origin destination worker and resident area characteristics data sets. And what I'm going to show in a minute is how you can also download the results of an on-the-map as a shapefile or KML if you're not interested in the entire state and want a more limited geographic area. This has really been a great addition to the toolkit. What they've released, on-the-map 4, was released in December of last year. They added 2 new years of data, 2007 and 2008. They added the full set of Ohio data and are currently just missing Connecticut, Massachusetts, D.C., and New Hampshire. The new version also allows import of custom areas for analysis, which is what I'm going to do. And I mentioned the export options, and there are even functions now to both save and then reopen an on-the-map session, so you don't have to redo your settings or re-import any of the shapefiles or KMLs that you've added. Quickly, how to get in. This is now starting the demo portion, and I'm going to use screenshots at risk of abnormalities. But right from the Census homepage, you'll see a link for local employment dynamics. You go to there. On the left side, there's a quick link for downloading data, if you just want the raw data directly for your state. On the left, under quick links, middle of the map, there's a link that says start using On the Map now. You go to start using on the map, and your search box, type in name of a city, a place, a county, a state, any kind of geographic identifier that you can think of, it will accept, and click Enter. In this case, I've clicked Minneapolis, so it finds any type of landmark or census feature that has Minneapolis in the name. In this case, we're interested in the city, Minneapolis, but we could also click the MSA, the workforce investment area, and so forth, school district, what have you. So when you click that, it brings you into the map and now takes you over to the analysis tab. And this is where you have to start making some decisions on what it, you want to display or analyze. In this case, I am going to select the home or residential area, indicating that I'm interested in the characteristics about the residents of a given graph area. You are allowed to pick up to 3 years of data that you're interested in. In this case, I've picked 2008, 2002 to get a good time series. I'm interested only in primary jobs, which is more of workers than it is of jobs, and I'm interested in all workers in the labor market. I click the next button up at the top of the screen, and by default, it has my selected area as the city that I typed in the search tab, so it has the city of Minneapolis selected. But in my case, I actually want to import a custom geography to analyze, and that's where this import feature is now available. And in this case, I've tried both shapefiles, KMLs, but you can also type in an address or even a coordinate from a GPS. I click on KML. I get a dialog box where I go find the KML or KMZ file that I'm interested in. And in this case, I've imported a series of points which represent the station locations of our one and only light rail line running roughly from the airport downtown area.
Huh? Yeah, do you hear the music?
Yes, I can hear the music.
I think somebody put us on hold.
Okay, well, I'll just continue.
If everyone could please remember to mute your phones, but the person who's the problem probably can't hear us if they're on the other line.
Right.
Thanks. Sorry about that.
Okay. So I've imported my points, and then I have tools to kind of work with these points that I've imported. I'm going to select all points and then continue with my selected shapes. I am back at the analysis screen, and I've added a simple quarter-mile buffer to the points that I added, and this is now my new area for analysis. So I'm again going to look at the residents of a quarter mile of these station points that I've input. I have to decide whether I want to look at a home area profile analysis or a commute shed analysis. I'll show you both of those results quickly without explaining the difference between the two. They are described here. And then as I get results, it will roll up some of my results to any of these selected levels of geography. In this case, I'm interested in both places, counties, and then the zip codes where these residents work. Going back one, I hit the go button up at the top, and very quickly I get a set of points and thermal maps for the 3 years indicated on my map, and have some options now to both view reports and also to download the data as shapefiles, KMLs, or DBF files. The reports, as they come out very quickly, showing the top 10 or so work locations of residents near our LRT stations. And very simply, I can see that the line actually opened in 2004. So this data set is great for looking at both pre and post commuting patterns along this LRT line. I can see that both in raw number and in the share of commuters that both live within a quarter mile of these stations and work within the city of Minneapolis has increased quite a bit over the last 3-4 years since the line has been opened. And if I go down and take a look at the zip codes where these workers are working, I can see that the greatest increase has, again, in both number and in the share, has been in the zip code at the kind of terminus of the LRT line in downtown Minneapolis. So again, you know, there's a lot of comparisons you can do, but it's interesting to note that it seems to be that the number of people both living and working within the proximity of this line has greatly increased since it's opened. And then if I go back and look at the resident characteristics, I can also find out, for instance, that the number of persons and the share that are earning high-income wages, more than $40,000 a year, has also increased dramatically from 2005 to 2008. And I can start to see some shifts in the industry sectors of employment, decreases in retail and wholesale trade, and increases in professional and management-type occupations amongst the residents of this line. And this might be an indicator of gentrification, but again, we haven't compared it with some of the other areas and some of the other jobs in the city. So finally, just to show what can be done with the results of these, you're able to download as a KMZ, in this case, the results and display them in Google Earth. It makes these really cool 3D kind of bar maps showing where the concentrations. In this case, we're actually looking to the northwest along the light rail line into downtown and the airport being down in this area. Finally, you can also import them directly into ArcMap. This is my selection area, my points, my buffer zones, the dots representing the work locations of these residents, and finally the thermal imagery comes in as well. And then we might take something like neighborhood boundaries and overlay these and then do an analysis by neighborhood to see both where workers are coming from and where they're working within the central cities. Finally, just to point out, up at the top of on the map screen, you do have options to both load and save this session, so I don't have to go back in. If I save the session, I don't have to go back in and import my points again. I don't have to set any of my settings for how I ran the analysis, and I'm even able to share this link with someone else so they could repeat the analysis that I performed just by sending them a URL that will rerun my map session. So to close, I just wanted to point out a couple of the future data products that were presented to us at the LED workshop earlier this month in Arlington. They are actually adding some race and ethnicity variables to the LED data. They hope next spring those will be available. They are also going to be adding federal workers. Obviously, certain areas is more important than others. That will be happening next spring. They've also been working on some methods for adding self-employed using tax return data, Schedule C from federal tax returns to help identify self-employed workers. And finally, there was some discussion of adding educational attainment. As they mentioned, this one's a little bit trickier because people seem to move through educational attainment, unlike something like your race or age, which stays constant, hopefully, through your work cycle. But people change educational qualifications, and it's a little bit harder to track. And then finally, down the road a couple of years, they're going to add a lot more data on the firms themselves, so the age and the size of individual companies, allowing us to look at things like do younger companies hire younger workers, do certain types or sizes of companies hire more men than women, so forth, and then data on job flows, so people transferring jobs or transferring industries to be able to better track that as an addition to this data set. I realize that's probably a lot to go through, and hopefully save we'll have enough time for questions at the end, but would now like to try to turn it over to Francisca.
Hi, Jeff. We actually had a quick question that probably is best addressed now. Peter Tatian wanted to know if the sex of the worker is available in the data.
It isn't right now, but that is, I believe, going to be added with the race and ethnicity. I didn't mention it on the slide, but I believe that was going to be part of what they're going to add about a year from now.
Okay, great. And before we switch over to Francisco, we're going to actually do a quick poll about whether or not you've done neighborhood-level employment labor market analysis before. So if everyone could quickly just click on their screens, and then we'll switch over to Francisco.
Great, we'll show the results of the poll now. Well, good. We're glad that people are going to be learning more. And if people have comments afterwards chiming in about other ideas for analyzing employment, please add that to the discussion at the end.
So now we'll switch over to Francisco from Lyft.
Hello, everyone. Do you see my screen, Jesse?
Not yet.
There we go.
Okay. Do you see outline?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect.
We're all set.
Great. Hello, everyone. I'm a research associate at Local Initiative Support Corporation, otherwise known as LISC, and LISC is a community development organization, and historically it was primarily a housing organization, but several years ago it established an initiative called Building Sustainable Communities, which is a more comprehensive approach to community development. And the initiative's goals are, including housing, are also to increase family income and wealth, stimulate economic development, improve access to quality education, and support healthy environments and lifestyles in targeted neighborhoods in about, eventually it'll be rolled out in the 27 cities where we work. It's not quite rolled out everywhere yet. But with this more comprehensive approach to community development, LISC would like to know more about these neighborhoods rather than just looking at housing data and how they are changing over time. So the research and assessment unit where I work is exploring uses of new data sources, and in this case, LED data, to look at employment change in our target neighborhood. So today I'm just going to go over some things that we've been looking at. Particularly, we're going to be looking at the earnings levels that Jeff talked about briefly, the distribution of employed residents by industry, and the relationship between earnings and industry of the employed residents in our neighborhoods. So just to recap talked about, the LED data have variables on worker age, earnings, and job industry. Today, we're not going to look at worker age at all. We're just going to look primarily at the highest earnings category, more than $3,300 per month, which equates to about $40,000 per year, and the jobs by industry type, which includes 20 total industries. And once again, this is just looking at employed residents, so this is looking at what Jeff referred to as resident area characteristics on the LED website. So first, if we just look at the percent of employed residents in the highest earnings categories, here we have the comparison. Hello? Okay.
We're here. I don't know what that was.
Okay. Okay. Sorry.
No, that was bizarre. New technological glitches every time.
Okay. So here we have the percent of employed residents in the highest earning categories in 22 of the city's areas where we work. And the light blue bars give the percentage for the entire metro area. And the dark blue bars give the percentages for the for low mod areas within the city centers. So these are sorted by the highest percentage in the metro area. So here we see down here we have the Bay Area with Oakland, Richmond, California, and San Francisco has the highest percentage, followed by the New York City metro area with Newark, and then the Twin Cities area with St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Hopkins. And then it goes all the way to the very top with Duluth has the lowest percentage in its metro area. As I said, the dark blue area shows the percentage of residents in the highest earnings categories for the low mod areas within the central city. So here we see Duluth going all the way down again to San Francisco. And one thing we've been thinking about is the ratio between the percentage in the central city low mod areas and the entire metro area. So for example, if you look at Kansas City, Kansas right here, we see that the metro percentage is about 40%, but the city percentage within low mod areas is 20%. So that ratio is about 0.5. Whereas if you go down to San Francisco, the ratio is much closer. Oops, I lost my area. There. The ratio is much closer to 1. So that's one of the things we've been looking at. In addition to looking at just the percentage in the highest earnings category, we can look at the percentage of employed residents in all three earnings levels. And these are also in the 22 cities that were listed in the previous slide. And so here we see that the target neighborhoods and the low mod areas within the central cities, our target neighborhoods, our LISC target neighborhoods, have about the same distribution. But the city and metro areas have a much higher percentage of residents in the highest earnings level, which is not surprising. So in addition to earnings levels, we can also look at the industry breakdown of employed residents. And here we have, again, the comparison of metro areas to all low-mod areas in the central cities, the percentage of employed residents by sector. So here we can see agriculture and mining and utilities in general have a very low percentage, well, less than 0.5, and whereas healthcare, retail, and manufacturing have the largest percentages. And one thing to kind of pay attention to here is that in the low mod areas, the percentages for accommodation and food here and administration are much higher in the low mod areas, whereas the percentage in percentage of residents employed in professional and scientific is much higher in all metro areas. In order to simplify these 20 industry groups, we created industry groups based mostly on earnings level, and we ignored the real small ones, agriculture, mining, and just focused on these 17 other ones. And we created these groups of industrial, what we call technical, eds and meds, and a last group, which we call service. Obviously, there are other service industries in the other groups, but we couldn't really come up with a good name for our last group, so we called it service. So industrial, not surprisingly, includes construction, manufacturing, transportation, and wholesale. And you can see where the other industries fall within the group. So if we look at the distribution, within our neighborhoods, if we look at the neighborhoods in our 22 cities, we can see here that the green shows the percentage of employed residents in our industrial group. The yellow shows the percentage in the technical group. The blue shows the percentage in eds and meds. And the orange shows the percentage in the service industry. So Houston, down here, seems to have the highest percentage in industrial, while our D.C. and Hopkins neighborhoods have the highest percentage in technical. Now, recall that D.C. does not include federal workers. So eventually it will, which will be very helpful. But these are just basically privately employed residents. And our Philadelphia neighborhood seems to have the highest percentage in eds and meds. And then our San Diego neighborhoods here have the highest percentage in the service industry. So one thing we want to look at is what is happening to employment over time. And we see that between 2002 and 2008, we have gains in the eds and meds and the service groups of employed residents, whereas we have declines in the technical and industrial. Now, we can combine this by looking at what are the earnings levels in these groups. And we can see that, not surprisingly, there's a higher percentage of residents employed in the highest earning categories in the industrial and technical group. So this slide shows the percent of employed residents in highest earning categories by industry group, whereas the eds and meds, and especially the service, have a very low percentage of employed residents in the highest earnings category. So basically, if we look back at our other slide, we are gaining residential employment in the lower earnings industries, but losing employed residents in the higher earnings categories. One other thing that we've been looking at is a shift share analysis of our neighborhoods. Now, this is based on some work by the Georgia Tech Economic Development Institute, and where our work is basically adapted from some presentation and textbook pages, which the link can be seen down there, www, at the bottom at Georgia Tech, that will lead you to the PowerPoint, which we used to create our shift share analysis. Shift share analysis breaks the change in neighborhood residential employment into three components, which is the metro share, the industry mix, and the neighborhood shift. And so the metro share sort of asks, if resident employment in, say, let's say manufacturing increases in our neighborhood X, by the same percentage as total employment in the metro area, how many jobs would you gain or how many jobs would you lose and over time? And if the industry mix looks at if resident employment in manufacturing increases in our neighborhood X by the same percentage as manufacturing employment in metro area, how many manufacturing jobs would you gain or lose? And the neighborhood shift looks at is there something about a neighborhood, the neighborhood X, that makes it favorable or unfavorable for residential employment in manufacturing? So, for example, is there a certain immigrant population that has a certain skills that make them more likely to be employed in a certain industry? And if we can use the shift share analysis to look at what's going on in our neighborhoods in Indianapolis, within our industrial sector. So our industrial sector, which includes manufacturing and construction and wholesale. And we see that we actually have, the green actually has a positive metropolitan growth of about 8%. And the yellow shows that we have a sector decline of about 8%. Now those just happen to be about the same by circumstance. They're not necessarily always the same. and we see a neighborhood decline between 2002 and 2008 within the industrial group for our neighborhoods in Indianapolis. But instead of just looking at our neighborhoods combined, we can look at the individual neighborhoods and look at the shift share analysis. And we see that one neighborhood is actually increasing in their neighborhood shift. And that neighborhood, Northeast, actually is actually the highest earnings, has the highest earnings level for all of the neighborhoods, whereas the remaining neighborhoods, Northwest, Near West, Southeast, and Southwest, are all losing residential employment in between 2002 and 2008. So this sort of shows the distribution across metro industry and neighborhood effect for the industrial sectors in the Indianapolis neighborhoods. And that's pretty much it for now. That sort of just gives you an idea of things that we're looking at, things that we're exploring and we continue to explore.
Thanks, Francisca. If anyone has, we'll start with a couple questions we have on that we've already received, but if you have other questions for them, please submit them now. And the Mark Abraham asked about the availability of Connecticut, and I actually know this offhand, but because Connecticut is like D.C., and it came in late, so we only have resident area characteristics so far for either D.C. and Connecticut and maybe some other states that came in late. So the commuter data isn't there yet. For resident characteristics, though, the data is available for Connecticut from 2002 to 2008, I see. And it may not be on the map because D.C. isn't in the on-the-map line system, but you can download the data. So you can check and see whether Connecticut's different than that. Next, do you want to, if April, do you want to just unmute yourself and ask, add your comment or ask Jeff the question?
Sure. I guess it's really just more of a comment and probably, you know, would just need to see additional webinars, I guess, about the, you know, LED data. So, but I was kind of looking for, you know, more slow walkthrough with the on the map online. Mm-hmm. And it also didn't help, I guess, that there was a lot of beeping when he was going through his presentation. So,
right, and I had
will it be online, you know, so I can go through it on my own? Will it be available? Your presentation, I'm sorry.
Oh, sure. The presentation will be available. I think Kathy can let people know. And there also are both examples and tutorials right on the map website that will walk you through how to do some of these things.
Okay.
And I'm also more than happy to talk to people individually that have questions.
Oh, great.
You know, you can pull up a web browser and give me a call, and I'll help anybody walk through any of this.
Okay, thank you. But it was really helpful, so that was great. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's the system definitely seems intimidating as you when you first go on. I think there's a question or two about where the slides will be posted. They're on we actually put them on the public NNIP website in our sustainable community section. We'll show it to you after the questions, and then I also will send around a note to all the partners to give them the exact URL. Gustavo, do you want to ask your question?
Oh, sorry, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was just wondering if there is any plans of releasing more details on for the two digits in IACS codes, because for some industries you may have suppliers that are, you know, that are across the current categories?
Right. I don't think as part of this data set, at least from what I recall hearing a few weeks ago, that there are any plans. You know, I think they do at broader levels of geography release more detailed industry codes, but not that you can tie to this location to the homes of workers. And maybe Francisco remembers.
Yeah, I think that was asked, but I think it was I think they said no.
Okay. Does this be in particular relevant for Michigan on the auto industry? Because, you know, the industries that are being impacted are, you know, just all of a sudden you have a small company that is providing a large number of their suppliers, amount of their suppliers to the auto industry, but it doesn't get picked up if you don't go to that level of detail.
Yeah, there was a presentation at the LED workshop about the auto industry in Michigan, and it might be helpful to go visit. All of those presentations are posted as well on the LED website, and they talked about some of the issues that they faced and how they were able to address some but not all of the questions about how do you get at some of this detail.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, we have a link to that on the other resources section of this web chat, link to all those presentations. So. Susan?
Thank you much. Thank you very much. This is fascinating, and since I missed it in Minneapolis, I was delighted to be able to hear it this way. My question is about the income categories. What is classified as high income doesn't work out to a particularly high income in many of the cities we work in. Is there any move afoot that you know of, Jeff, to provide different income breakdowns?
Yeah, I there isn't that I know of, and I frankly have not ever heard a good explanation as to why they came up with the categories that they did. I'm guessing they relate somehow to federal poverty index numbers for certain family sizes, but that's just a guess, and yeah, we find the same thing. You know, even at the highest category, you know, 40,000 is not, you know, all of your teachers and bus drivers and everybody are going to be in the high income category.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine any place where that's considered high income.
Right, right. So it's kind of unfortunate.
Thanks.
But you can, I mean, send a comment to the LAD site. I think that they only, you know, they only respond to, you know, if they have more and more pressure to add those things, like I think the race data that they didn't initially add, but they'd made those changes, so.
Right.
I'm always a proponent of being vocal about data insufficiencies.
Yeah, and they seem to stress that over and over again at the workshop, that the more they hear from people that they want additions and enhancements, that they will listen, and that's where their primary kind of to-do list comes from, is from people telling them that they want these things added. So.
Any other questions? Well, that sounds great. Well, we don't mind ending a little early, and it was because Francisca and Jeff were so amazingly on time with their presentations. We're not used to it, so we appreciate that. And I think Ashley is going to show you – oh, we have one last poll. So this is, as I mentioned, the second in this series, and we'd love – if you have any ideas – either for more indicator data source-based ones like this, or for webinars, projects that you would like to share with other people or to hear about from other partners, please send a note, and we can do as many of these as there is demand for. But in the meantime, these are the ones that we had before that you see on the screen are the ones that we had thought of following, actually, Chris's and Francisco's lead on what they have on their Sustainable Communities report card. So if you could click as many as you would want to see, we, based on this poll from before, on the highest ones rated were the neighborhood vitality or neighborhood diversity indicators, both racial and economic diversity. So we've talked to Garth we've asked Garth Taylor from MCIC in Chicago to present that one next, and I'll send the data around as soon as we can. And so the next one, health indicators. Oh, good. So we can, that is one of the ideas for the session in the May meeting. So that could be a good cue up for our meeting in person in May. And so the next, the last piece I wanted to show you was the website. And I'll send the, as I said, I'll send the URL around. But Ashley, can you page down to the LED section? So the audio takes a couple days to get back. So if you can visit when that comes up. But the presentations from Franziska and Jeff are here. I also have been squirreling away examples of local use of the LED that I can see that's more applied usage that we would be interested in. So if you have other suggestions, there's some great examples there from Atlanta. Mike Carnathan and Allison and Elaine did one on Katrina commuter patterns just recently that came out late last year, and a couple of other non-NNIP examples. So if you have done things yourself or you come across local examples, I'd love to have them because these are really hard to find anywhere else. LED does, the actual LED website doesn't seem to have a bibliography of local use. And then finally, at the end, we have the LED session, which does go into more detail, I think, from Jess and Franziska's presentations from before. So I think that's all still relevant. It just is using older data and a couple of other Chicago and New Orleans examples. So if you find helpful links or examples, please send them along to me and I'll post them.
Can I add one more note, Kathy?
Yeah, please.
I was just looking at some data in Chicago and we found some funny numbers. And
that's a technical term.
Right.
Funny.
Mostly we found huge decreases in employed residents between 06 and 07, and then huge increases between 07 and 08 that don't really make sense. And so I sent them the PDF of the printout, and they're looking into it. So if you find, as you're using this data, if you find things that seem really extraordinary, I would suggest giving them some feedback.
That's great. Yeah, because I think some of the, I don't know whether it's a function of the synthetic nature of the data or just a mistake.
Right.
Which it easily could be.
But I've heard back from two people saying that they're looking into it.
Oh, wow. That's personal service.
Yeah.
I'm surprised on a federal website. Well, thanks very much again to Franziska and Jeff, and we'd love to hear your comments about this webinar and others. So have a great afternoon, everyone.
Thank you.